KB, what were some shocking moves in a NFL free agency this week?
I personally think they shouldn't have traded Michael Pittman. I mean, he's good. He's more consistent, not get injuries as often as some other people have in the past. But I'm kind of surprised he just went to the Steelers. I mean, getting traded there, but you know.
Yeah. I guess that segues into my point here. The only reason, you know, we mentioned that Pittman goes to the Pit, Pittman to Pittsburgh, because of the fact to clear out that money, shed that cap, because the Colts re-sign receiver Alec Pierce to a 4-year, $114 million deal, or something like that. What is the expectation now need to be for Alec Pierce now that he's being paid over $100 million and is going to presumably be the number one option in this Colts receiving core?
Definitely might have to step up his game a little bit more than what he has in the past. Yeah, that's kind of basically it. Just kind of set a higher expectation for himself now that he's getting paid a lot more than what he was.
And I feel like you can create that now being the number one option. And especially the chemistry that he has with Daniel Jones. The reason Alec Pierce wanted to stay in Indy is because he liked Daniel Jones. He obviously got that bag, so that was a huge reason. But he said in his press conference, shout out to James Boyd, that he loves being here. This is his home. He loves the people here. That was what he said in his press conference. And we mentioned that Michael Pittman gets traded to the Steelers for 6th and 7th round picks. Also, should we get into the big one that was the most controversial trade in NFL history, maybe? I mean, Max Crosby gets shipped off to the Baltimore Ravens for 2 first-round picks, but then we hear a couple of days ago that this trade is actually being resigned and that Max Crosby is actually heading back to the Raiders, so he's not going to be at the Ravens. Max Crosby supposedly fails his physical and the Ravens no longer able to sign him. That leads in to the Baltimore Ravens swooping up the Colts with Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson signs to the Baltimore Ravens. The Colts were going to come in and steal Hendrickson. Or I shouldn't say steal, but they were going to sign Hendrickson. Hendrickson, though, last minute decided to sign with the Ravens. The Baltimore GM said that the whole plan, the whole time, whether this is true or not, but the whole thought was to have the edge rushers on either side be Trey Hendrickson and be Max Crosby. With that being said, there's been some other huge moves as well. First of all, we'll move to the Detroit Lions running back situation. They trade David Montgomery on March 2nd to the Houston Texans. But the other day, they re-signed former Kansas City Chief quarterback, or running back, pardon me, Isaiah Pacheco. No longer have that Sonic and Knuckles combo between Gibbs and Montgomery. How do you think that'll affect the Lions' offense?
I definitely think it's going to affect them a lot, only because Montgomery and Gibbs are a very good back duo. You know, Montgomery puts up the hard rushing yards that they need, and then Gibbs just kind of gets in open space and takes off with it in a way.
The Jets placed the franchise tag on Breece Hall. Speaking of tags, before the 2-year, $88 million deal that Daniel Jones signed, the Colts put him on a transition tag. Earlier this week, the Cardinals released Kyler Murray. Yesterday, Kyler Murray signs with the Minnesota Vikings. He'll compete against J.J. McCarthy for that starting job. Nicholas, at the beginning of the 2026-2027 season, who will be the Vikings' starting quarterback?
Let me go McCarthy here.
You think so?
Especially that since he knows how the offenses run there, since you know the Cardinals and Vikings have different schemes of how they do their offensive playbooks and stuff. And
fairness to Kyler Murray, though, too. It's not like he's being thrown in 2 weeks before the season starts. He's got a whole training camp ahead of him. He's got a whole preseason ahead of him to get used to the scheme, get used to the offensive coordinators, get used to the Kevin O'Connell system. Also, the other huge one, two huge ones I'll mention with the Kansas City Chiefs here. They lose a star on defense, but they gain a even almost arguably bigger star on offense. The Rams traded for Trent McDuffie, the star corner, for a first-round pick, number 29, this year, a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and a 2027 third-round pick. All those picks I mentioned previously were all this year. And then we saw the Super Bowl 60 MVP, Kenneth Walker, signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's quite a huge deal. The Chiefs have really been missing a star running back for forever, honestly. They get Kenneth Walker. That's a huge deal. What do you think of the Kenneth Walker signing to Kansas City? And off this Patrick Mahomes torn ACL, how are the Chiefs going to do in what's going to be a very competitive AFC next year?
Well, I personally believe that Kenneth Walker, yeah, he's going to do good, you know. He'll probably fit in pretty well with their offense. Personally, I just kind of think the Chiefs are kind of on like a more of a downfall than what they have been.
There's a thing, though. I think you don't have a downfall when you have someone like Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback spot. So that's what I'm going to say. Don't switch the radio dial, because some of you might be mad by this comment. But I believe the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl next year, if not AFC Championship. The New England Patriots released Stephon Diggs, which was interesting because he had a huge role there this season, especially down the stretch of the playoffs. I assume that's a money-saving deal.
Hey, bring him back to the Vikings, man.
Yeah, why not? Recreate it. Earlier this week, Chicago has been busy in this offseason. The Bears trade DJ Moore to the Buffalo Bills for a second-round draft pick. That gives Josh Allen a new number one. How will that help improve Josh Allen's game?
It would definitely give him somebody else to pass it to that, you know, can catch, can, you know, route run pretty well, and other than the ones that he has right now.
I agree with you. It's been Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman in the receiving core there. Let's see what else we got. Scrolling through, the Rams extend Cameron Curl on a $36 million deal worth 3 years on a $39 million max. The Raiders release Geno Smith, and then earlier this week, Geno Smith returns to the New York Jets. Do you think Geno Smith starts for the Jets?
No.
No. No. I don't think he should either, but it would be a very Jet move.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. The Philadelphia Eagles extend Jordan Davis to a 3-year, $78 million extension, $65 million guaranteed. Some Colts news, obviously. We mentioned the Michael Pittman trade. We should also mention the other defensive captain that got traded, Zaire Franklin, heading to the Green Bay Packers in a 1-for-1 exchange swap with Colby Wooden, the defensive tackle. The Colts trying to boost that defensive tackle room. This is another cap-shedding move by Chris Ballard, dumping off the Zaire Franklin contract. My opinion, I know Zaire just loved being here. I know he loved the fans and loved the community, but I think his due time was up. I think Zaire Franklin had ran his clock out here in Indianapolis. That is just my opinion, though. Obviously, sad to see a guy like that who's been on your team for so many years, but also a guy that's played pretty mediocre in the last couple of years, a guy who led the NFL in tackles a couple of years ago, but he led the NFL in tackles is because he couldn't cover anyone. So that was really the problem. The Chargers re-signed Khalil Mack to a 1-year, $18 million deal. The veteran returns for another season. I was seeing if it would tell me what season it was. We should also mention that Trent McDuffie, I mentioned he got traded to the Rams. The Rams pay him that bag, though. He will now be the highest paid corner in NFL history, a 4-year, $124 million deal, $31 million per year.
Gosh dang, man.
Yep. Another quarterback huge move. The Dolphins trade Tua Tagovailoa. Tua is now an Atlanta Falcon. He'll presumably start over there in Atlanta unless Michael Penix Jr. can come back and recover. If you're the Falcons, who would you rather start, Michael Penix or Tua?
I don't know. I mean,
Michael Penix, he's got that upside, but obviously, as we've seen early on in his career, he can't really stay healthy, unfortunately.
Well, neither can Tua.
Yeah, so it's kind of a what apple are you going to catch from the tree, honestly?
Well,
I guess we'll see. To be fair, Tua didn't have the best offensive line in Miami, but...
Well, you also got to think Tua, you know, might have some brain damage.
Maybe. The Jets signed Minkah Fitzpatrick to a 3-year, $40 million deal, but before that, they traded him, or they were able to trade for him, rather, for a measly 2026 seventh-round pick. You're telling me the Colts couldn't sweep in there and offer a seventh-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick?
I would.
I think that is honestly the problem with Chris Ballard. It's not the fact that he won't make the moves. It's the fact he won't reach out to see what the asking prices are. I think if he knew that the asking price or the given deal for Minkah Fitzpatrick, pardon me, I completely butchered that last name there, got my tongue twisted, Minkah Fitzpatrick, that's a no-brainer. You give away a seventh-round pick for a great safety, who, don't get me wrong, out of his prime on his third team now with the Jets, but still a great player.
Yeah. He's still doing pretty good for, you know, how long he's been in the league for.
The Packers trade Rashawn Gary to the Dallas Cowboys for a 2027 fourth-round pick. Here's the big one for all the mainstream and the Taylor Swift fans. Travis Kelce expected to return for his 14th and probably final season in the NFL. If you are Travis Kelce, what is your mindset going in this year?
To perform a lot better than he did last year.
That's fair.
or personally,
you always want to get better than your last year or so.
Well, sometimes,
especially if you have a down year, but even a good year, you always want to perform better.
Even if you have a good year, coming back and doing about the same thing that you did like the year before is still a good thing. That way, it's like letting you know, like, oh, I'm not getting too old until you start, you know, doing a lot worse.
I obviously mentioned the Chiefs signed Kenneth Walker. That full contract is 3 years, $45 million on a 28.7 fully guaranteed. Nick Cross, the former Colts safety, signs a 2-year deal with Washington. I don't understand why we couldn't re-sign Nick Cross. I think he was one of the, if not the best defensive player on the team last year. That one hurts. Nick Cross should still be a Colt, but Chris Ballard is only worried, I guess, not about that. I'm not sure, to be honest. So, Michael Pittman does re-sign a 3-year, $59 million deal, though, with the Steelers. So, he'll be in Pittsburgh unless he gets traded for at least the next 3 years.
Chew.
The Dolphins have found their starting quarterback, though. We assume Malik Willis signs a 3-year, $67.5 million deal.
Hey.
Deserved, undeserved, overpaid, underpaid. How do you think?
I think
the deal is.
I think a little overpaid for one. I mean, he did play well when he went in a couple, you know, when he had to. Was it against the Ravens?
I'm not sure who he jumped in for, but he did play well.
He did play well, yes. But I think it's a little underpaid for it. Well, if you're thinking 6 years, I don't know. Could be right about where it should be at the same time.
Isaiah Likely signs a 3-year, $40 million contract with the New York Giants. The former Baltimore Raven tight end adds some more offensive boost to the Giants. The Giants are my dark horse for next year. I really like where they're going. They now have Isaiah Likely, Wandale Robinson. Oh, sorry, I guess no more Wandale Robinson, actually. They'll have Malik Nabers coming off injury. They'll have Jackson Dart back. They'll have Cam Scataboo coming back off from injury. And they obviously have a new coach in Harbaugh. I really think the Giants are underdog. And I think they could get close to the 500 mark.
I think they really just needed a new head coach and kind of get a reset and, you know, build. I think John Harbaugh is trying to get some of the people that he had when he was over at the... Wait, he was Chargers, right?
No. Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting the brothers mixed up.
Yeah. But I think he's going to try to get some of his former players with him.
Yeah.
Such as Isaiah Likely. You know, maybe we can get, you know, Derrick Henry.
That'd be fun.
Maybe a Lamar Jackson.
To the Giants, that'd be interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're good.
But the former Saints linebacker, DeMario Davis, signs a 2-year deal with the New York Jets up to $22 million. The Buccaneers signed former Detroit Lion linebacker Alex Anzalone to a 2-year $17 million deal. The Bears signed Seahawks safety Kobe Bryant to a deal, trying to booster their secondary. The Ravens add a huge addition to the offensive line, which we can only presume will be protecting Fernando Mendoza. Tyler Lindenbaum signs the biggest contract in NFL interior offensive line history. 3 years, $81 million, $60 million guaranteed. The Saints signed former Jags running back. And as an Indianapolis Colts fan, thank God he's out of my division. The Saints signed Travis Etienne to a 4-year, $52 million deal. This leads to question marks, Nicholas. What does Alvin Kamara do?
Oh.
Does he look and explore his options? Or is he okay with being in a two-headed monster formation?
Well, personally, I don't think... Well, since Travis Etienne is a little bit... I want to say better than him, but more explosive, because you can kind of tell Alvin is...
I agree with that, yeah, I think.
Alvin's not where he was when he was in his prime. I mean, that's going to happen once you get older. But I think he'll... I don't know. Depends.
Yeah. I mentioned Wandale Robinson earlier in the Giants' offense. He's obviously no longer there. He moves to the AFC South, signing a 4-year, $78 million deal, $38 million guaranteed with the Tennessee Titans. The 49ers make probably one of, if not the biggest deal over this last couple of weeks. They sign Mike Evans to a 3-year deal. The former Bucs receiver heads to the Bay. The Niners look dangerous. Jamel Dean, the former Bucs corner, signs a 3-year, $36.75 million deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Michael Pittman getting a great teammate there in Jamel Dean. The Giants signed the former Bears linebacker Tremaine Edmonds to a 3-year, $36 million, $26.7 full guaranteed. Cordarrelle Flott signs with the Tennessee Titans, 3 years, $45 million, $32 million guaranteed. The Bengals try to add into their secondary help Joe Burrow the best they can as they sign Brian Cook, the former Chiefs safety, a 3-year, $40.25 million deal. Alante Taylor signs with the Tennessee Titans on a 3-year, $60 million deal. The Saints corner. And that'll pretty much do it for NFL. I had to really run down that list quickly. Should also mention former Colts player Quiddy Pay heads over to the Raiders on a 3-year, $16 million deal. Nothing but the best of Quiddy Pay. Just obviously was a little off in the last couple of years. Not a lot of sacks. One more, too. The Seahawks re-signed the speedster Rashid Shaheed. Was a huge role in the last season for them. Pittsburgh signs Rico Dowdle to a 2-year, $12.5 million deal. Greg Newsome signs with the New York Giants. Dawson Knox re-signs with the Buffalo Bills. The Texans re-sign their kicker in Kyame Fairbairn. The former offensive tackle for the Colts, Braden Smith, heads over to the Texans on a 2-year, $25 million deal. Romeo Doubs signs with the New England Patriots. Anything else big I'm missing here? Let's see. Tariq Woolen does sign with the Philadelphia Eagles on a 1-year deal. So that is interesting. The greatest, well, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time, Patrick Carr, signs with the New York Giants. Sam Howell signs with the Cowboys as a backup. Chigakonkwo, the former Titans tight end, signs with the Commanders. Bradley Chubb signs a 3-year, $43.5 million deal with the Buffalo Bills. Javon Hargrave signs a 2-year deal with the Green Bay Packers. The Giants re-sign their offensive tackle, Evan Neal. And that'll do it for the NFL. What a loaded NFL free agency. That cut out a lot of time of the show. But earlier this morning, folks, I had the chance to talk on Voices of the West Side with John Easter and the new head coach of Ben Davis Football, Coach Brett Cooper. It was a great interview with Coach Cooper. I have a little 7-minute or so snippet of that. I'm going to let that play. We'll return after that snippet and talk about Bam Adebayo's record-breaking 83-point game, as well as some results in the WBC, and finally round it out with what's been going on in college basketball. Here is that interview from earlier this morning with Coach Cooper.
And then this job opened, I got a phone call, and you're not going to say no to the Giants. So.
Yeah, and I guess I got a bit of a two-parter here. You mentioned, obviously, taking Perry Meredith into competitive football. In these last X amount of years, leading up to this spot, obviously, you're now the head coach of the Giants. What do you think you've learned the most from the last couple years at Perry, or just in coaching in general, being around everyone as an assistant? What do you think is going to help you the most from your previous years to now being the head coach of the Giants?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that young head coaches and guys that are just starting out, they think that there's a mold, like it has to be done this way and it only can be done this way. You've got to mesh what your players can do on a year in and year out basis. And does it look similar? Yeah, sure. But you've got to be able to take what your talent can do in your program and morph that into the structures and schematics on offense and defense and special teams to what they're good at. It's not what I'm good at. That doesn't mean anything. Those are the kids that are playing. We've got to highlight what they're good at. And so I think, you know, really at Perry Meridian, you could go watch us play in the 5 years. And, you know, the last 2 years is probably realistically how I like to play. But the years leading up to that make us competitive. And we were under center pro style offense and running the ball to protect the clock and protect our kids to give us a chance. We were pretty good on defense. But really, you know, to recap, I mean, it's just we've got to find a way to put our kids in the best position. And being in that environment the last couple of years has really helped me grow as a coach.
Yeah, and obviously it wasn't too hot of a season for the Giants this last season. When we look at this team, a younger team, obviously, as the Giants are really kind of going on, what core values and what do you really want to see your players learn over the course of not only just the season, but preseason, starting now, getting to know you? What core values do you want to preach to them, and what do you want them to take, not just into their high school football career, but maybe past whatever is this for them?
Sure. I mean, this is a great question because I'm meeting with senior parents and families right now, one-on-one. We started our first senior parent meetings on Wednesday, and we carry them into tomorrow, starting at 8 a.m. And we talk about this. And our core values in our program, it starts with respect. It's black and white. There's no gray area in that. And we talk about what that looks like on a day-to-day operation. But two, I think, and this is what I tell parents and our players, is the one thing I can offer to kids is in our program is the accountability piece. Like, we're going to hold you to a standard that we believe is going to make you successful, not only in the football program and on the football field, but also in your life once you leave Ben Davis High School. And accountability to me is do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, how you're supposed to do it to the best of your ability. And then on top of that is to communicate. And so communication in football is critical. Like, we're going to give our kids freedom to play on both sides of the ball, but they've got to communicate and they've got to go earn that. But they also have to communicate. Life happens and kids got to speak to us and they've got to talk to us because they're going to walk out of here in, you know, 16 months as seniors, and they're going to be either going into a workforce or they're going to be going into college setting, and they've got to be able to communicate to people maybe they quote-unquote are intimidated by. and I hopefully I'm not intimidating, but like I just say that because sometimes your bosses are. And so the last part of that, which I think is this part is the most critical, is when you do those two things, you're respectful, you're accountable, you build a level of trust. And when you have trust, I don't care how talented you are, if you have a group of kids that we all trust and that they trust the coaches and the coaches trust the coaches and the administration coaches trust the coaches, like you can move mountains with not a whole lot of talent in football because everybody's going to be where they're supposed to be and they're going to be coachable. And so those are really the three things that we look at, we'll talk about on a consistent basis. Now, on the football field, I want to compete and win. You know, if there's a scoreboard available and they're clicking that thing over, we're trying to win. You know, I get upset because my daughter and Audrey and Brooks and my wife, we go to their little basketball games. And they don't keep score, and I get a little frustrated sometimes because I'm like, "What are we doing? We're putting the ball in the hoop,
just like playing for nothing."
Yeah,
here?
We're like... just playing a game to learn the game. I'm like, "Well, the scoreboard's on. Let's put some points up there." But yeah, our kids will find out pretty quickly that I'm highly competitive, and I hope that rubs off on them.
Also, though, when we look at I do want to talk. I don't know how well you've got to know him, but I got to know him a little bit in the off season. He came by here. I want to say October, November, maybe. The freshman quarterback, Gabe Kinnett. He was viewing the WBDG studio and the BDTV studio. And there was question marks before the season. Who was going to start at quarterback for the Ben Davis Giants? And I use Gabe as kind of a segue into this question because obviously we didn't know that. That was a big question mark. As a coach, between position battles and question marks, whether it's the quarterback spot, whether it's whether it's a tackle, whether it's a DB or safety, what are you always looking for in position battles, in practices and scrimmages of who is really going to take that next leap to be the starter or be the backup?
Yeah, I mean, one, Gabe's an awesome kid. I've met him and his family already, so awesome kid. But depth is about competition, right? And so we want guys that can compete on a daily basis. But how do we determine that is when adversity hits, who folds and who doesn't. And we start seeing that. I mean, we tell kids this all the time. Like, I watch body language in the weight room. Mm. And so when things go bad in the weight room, how are you going to react? And if you react in a negative fashion in there, how are you going to react when there's several thousand people watching you in a big time game? I look at all phases. I look at a kid that's going to be a competitor. I look at a kid that has physical and mental toughness. And then how do they react to adversity?
Good morning and welcome back to Hash Marks and Hardwood. If you were just listening in, that was an earlier interview in the morning on Voices of the West Side with John Easter. And the voice you heard was the new coach of the Ben Davis Giants football, Coach Brett Cooper. I had a good interview with him earlier this morning, so that is what you just heard. If you missed earlier, we just talked about all of the moves that went down in NFL free agency, and obviously that interview with Coach Cooper. Now we move on to the historic Tuesday night in the National Basketball Association, and Bam Adebayo dropping a historic second highest ever 83 points in NBA history against the Washington Wizards in a 150-129 win for the Miami Heat. Bam Adebayo was 20 of 43 from the field on 7 of 22 from beyond the arc, 9 rebounds and a new NBA record of 43 free throws attempted and 36 free throws made. Nicholas, this is one of those games that on a Tuesday night against one of the worst teams in the league is going to be remembered for forever, honestly. In 15 years, I don't know what's going to be broken, what record's not going to be broken, but in 15 years, is my kid going to go up to me and be like, "Dad, you remember Bam Adebayo's 83-point game?" I'd be like, "No, because they didn't nationally televise it. It was against the Wizards." But I digress. Thoughts on this 83-point game? There's been some heavy criticism on it.
I mean, yeah, it's good. I mean, it's great to see that that's happened, and it hasn't happened since a very, very long time ago.
2006, Kobe Bryant scored 82 points, or 1 points. Yeah, 81 points.
I wasn't even born.
Neither was I. Is the criticism warranted? Some people saying that this doesn't count or should not count because of the free throws?
Well, if they're getting too many fouls, then theoretically it should still count because...
There's the perfect two tales of this, talking about this game. I talked with my dad, and he said, it wasn't really talk, but he said that this game should not count because that many free throws is ridiculous. But I talked to a guy like James Boyd, and he says, it doesn't matter. 83 points is 83 points. It doesn't matter how you get it. That's an incredible feat. I agree. I think that 83 points is 83 points, however you score it. Now, if he was 83 free throws in, that would be a little different. But he's not. Bam Adebayo's historic 83-point game ranks as the second highest in NBA history. The World Baseball Classic is going on, though, and the USA survive and move through to the next round on WBDG's round. The U.S. and Canada play on 8 p.m. on Fox tonight. That should be good. The South Korea and the Dominican Republic play at 6:30 on FS2. And Saturday, Puerto Rico and Italy play at 3 p.m. on FS1. Venezuela play Japan at 9 p.m. And that rounds it out for the WBC. The March Madness is getting ready to start. I should say the Madness is getting ready to start because the tournaments have been going on. The MAC Championship, the quarterfinal last night between you. I shouldn't say last night because this game was at like 11 o'clock. UMass beats the undefeated Miami, Ohio, 87-83. Any other interesting games? Virginia pick up the win against NC State. Obviously, Indiana suffers a pretty rough loss to Northwestern in what probably is going to end the season for Indiana.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance to make the bracket at all?
I don't know. It really just depends, I guess. Depends on if they can win a couple more to get.
They can't anymore. Their season's over, so...
Then no.
Well, no. I shouldn't say their season's over. We don't know if their season's over yet. But they lose in the Big Ten. Purdue, however, does win against Northwestern. Purdue's guard, Braden Smith, becomes the second highest assisting guard in NCAA history. Wisconsin knocks off Washington in a close one. 85-82. Miami is able to beat 24-ranked Louisville, 78-73. Number 2-ranked Arizona rolls on in the Big 12 championship tournament as they win by 20-odd points. Tennessee able to beat Auburn by 10, rather. They're the 25th-ranked team. The March Madness is coming up. Duke barely survives against Florida State, too. The Madness is coming up. Nicholas, how many brackets are you planning on doing this year for March Madness?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
We'll see when the time comes. Couple of years, I kind of want to low-key bring it down. Like, his last couple of years for me, it's been four, maybe? Four or five? So, you feel as if the other brackets don't matter? We're going to try to stick to two or three this year.
No, the more the better, you know?
The more you got a chance to win. You just fill out all the brackets until you get a perfect one. If I had to make a couple money shout-outs right now, or some teams that would go in the dark horses categories, I think you got to give credit to obviously Michigan, Arizona. A team I think that will do very good is Iowa State. They've been really impressing me. I think Wisconsin will go pretty deep in this tournament. who else? I'm trying to think here. Getting to my mind. Who else has been really impressing me this season in college basketball?
More like an underdog kind of thing, like a UConn. Maybe UConn.
Maybe. It's March Madness. You never know what can happen. We see it all the flipping time. Today in March Madness, we got Michigan versus Ohio State at 12 o'clock on the Big Ten Network.
Go it.
In the Big Ten quarterfinal, Ohio State pretty much confirmed they'll be in. Shout out to these WBDG alum. It's the Tyler Stoudemire Sprong Bowl, Illinois versus Wisconsin, Big Ten Tournament quarterfinal at 2:30. Tennessee versus Vanderbilt, St. John's versus Seton Hall, Purdue versus Nebraska, as the madness is almost here. But we've run out of time on Hash Marks and Hardwood today. To give you guys a little update of what's going on for the next couple of weeks with Hash Marks and Hardwood, today was obviously a regular show with a Voice of the West Side interview with Coach Cooper. Next week, Kyle Nedenrip will join us live in studio, the Indy Star writer, as well as we'll have a little sneak peek of a Voices of the West Side interview with the IHSA Commissioner Paul Nighting. And March 27th is a episode I'm really excited for. It's a sports hot take episode with WBDG alum and players here in Ben Davis. Should be a really fun time reading out these hot takes. We'll have pretty much everyone from every sport. Sherman Moss, Mr. Easter already gave me his hot take. Gonna reach out to a bunch of people about some hot takes. So don't miss March 27th. Don't miss next Friday either, because I'll be asking for Kyle Nenrip's hot take as well, whatever that might be. With that being said, it's 9:55. That means it's go time for us here on WBDG. Nicholas, any last things to say before we go off the airways?
Be safe. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. Absolutely, the temperature is changing like no other. Stay warm and stay awesome. Bryson alongside Nicholas on Hash Marks and Hardwood. Next week, join us same time. Kyle Nenrip joins us 9:15, 9:55. Here's On My Mind by Alex Warren.